This is Dodging Death with Stephen Williams Jr. and Ryan Patton.
And Paul.
One day I will get my name in the jingle.
You know what? It is about time your name was in that jingle, Paul.
Fine. Don't worry.
I'm pleased you said that because it would be lots of editing for me. So
I'll just keep doing that at the start of every show. And Paul, I'm going to say with less enthusiasm.
I'll keep your levels dipped until we mid-anecdote.
The fact I've only just noticed as well tells you how much I listen.
I think Josh stopped listening some time ago. So I've got to jump in immediately with something because it's been playing on my mind all day, and I thought I'll wait until this. I phoned none other than Mr. Ryan Patton earlier today.
Oh, yes.
And when I was on the phone to him, there was a very distinctive echo where in the background.
And I was like, I don't appreciate this two-way phone call and not the threesome.
I mean, phone calls normally are that way, Paul.
I'm sure we could have linked in with another member of the group. Or
we knew we'd be seeing you tonight. We were discussing some very tedious affairs, but I phoned him and I'm like, where could he possibly be with that echo? You know the way you just place it? Mm. And then, Ryan...
I'm guessing toilet, was it?
It was a toilet call, Paul.
I was sitting on the toilet and I thought, Stephen's phoned me. What a way to pass the time. I thought I didn't consider the acoustics of the bathroom. I didn't consider how distinctive they are.
They are incredibly distinctive.
But why are they so distinctive? What is it? What is it about? It's just the room. Is it the tiling? Is it the tiles that make it?
Well, it will be, but don't be trying to brush aside the main issue here, Ryan.
I think it's fine. I think a toilet answer's fine.
No, I think what was worse, you gave me no indication as to your location.
Yeah, but like, I find that be funny. It's better to remain ignorant for.
Mm.
I think it's fine as long as the conversation matches the job being done.
Content. So
yeah, we do call our content folder the ideas dump, so it was pretty fitting.
But Paul, what do you think of this? I thought it was unacceptable and I had to stop the phone call before I heard either wiping or a flush.
Oh god, if you didn't hear any wiping, that'd be concerning, wouldn't
it? And then I would have waited to see if he does in fact wash his hands. But what do you think? Would you have been okay with that, Paul?
Yeah, I wouldn't find the problem with that.
Really?
I think it should be considered the compliment of anything.
Oh, okay.
Pushing it here.
I think it's the sign, you know. You feel comfortable.
No, you know, familiarity breeds contempt. That's what I think that was.
No, I felt comfortable in the theater of the toilet to talk to you. Whereas if it was like something serious, like
but what? About, you didn't know how serious the call was.
I know you, but it was you though, so I could have assumed it would be.
No, nothing serious ever happens in your life, Steve. Not for us, anyway.
Yeah, you could have been telling me about like a family bereavement or something.
Yeah,
like,
oh, I know.
Well. And then you'd have heard the plop. Oh shit! That's how I reveal what I'm doing.
Yeah, you know, halfway through my tears, Ryan, I don't want to suddenly go, you know, be bawling my eyes. I go, oh. Hold on a second, are you on the toilet?
I was in a mood, wasn't it? You were. I can smell that through the phone, dirty bastard. I actually can't, still not quite recovered the smell from COVID.
Oh, really?
Oh, still. Only slightly, little remnants. I'm getting a whiff every now and then, but
your mother wishes she had the same problem. She walked by when you were on the phone to me. just before we leave the subject, it's come to my attention recently that I maybe have been wiping wrong my entire life.
Really?
Really?
Yeah, and there's a strong possibility I'm going to cut this from the show, but okay, let me ask you, what would your wiping technique be?
It's by visual, this, isn't it?
No, but you do have to use your words.
Yeah, I would reach around the back.
Okay.
I'll be going from start to finish. So, like, we're talking. Well, like,
I mean, let's assume your pants are already down.
I feel a bit of a pain in the stomach, so I realise I need to unleash.
Unload.
Yeah, with some bowel movement.
Just to get it out of the way. Hello, fellas. Continue, Ryan.
Let's go back even further. So I had a curry.
Mild to hot.
Yeah. 12 to 14 hours prior.
I went four chili curry. The big stuff. So,
this is going to take a lot of wiping. This is going to be a long story.
This is going to take a shower.
Yeah. It's a big old mud pie.
There's three flushes to this one story.
No, I would, you know, pull down, get a few squares.
Ryan, skip
to the
head. Okay,
we're not going squares. Okay, and then I would, you know, go round the back and then sort of go reach the bottom most point of the wipe, and then proceed to pull upwards.
Okay. Now you've reached the top point of the crack, the pinnacle.
Yeah,
Ryan probably hasn't though, because his high crack starts at his neck.
As a member of the high crack community, I'm going for a long goal time. Yeah.
You get tennis elbow.
It's a big old stroke going from bottom to top.
You're doing backstroke.
Yeah, I have to say, I'm double jointed. That's how I get so far down my back.
You could escape a straitjacket with no problem now, Ryan.
Yeah, I have to dislocate my shoulder to do an efficient wipe.
Okay, so after several minutes, you eventually get to the top of the crack. Then what do you do?
Well, then I inspect. dependent on the results.
On the scene of the crime.
Yeah, I see whether it's possible to do a sheep fold. And if I may need to discard straight away. If it's bad, it's a discard and straight for start again, rip it up and start again.
Sell the house, move on.
If I can fold, I will half and then repeat the process until done. Okay. Until it's clean, until a clean slate.
Paul, do you echo that sentiment?
I'm just going to agree with what he said. I feel like I can't really ask.
Paul echoes it as much as the echoes of the bathroom acoustics. Tenuous link, but I'm going for it.
So mine is not like that. And I now realize I have been doing it wrong, and this could be awful. But so I do the same thing. I get the paper, fold the paper in hand. I go to the lowermost point and raise the hand up to the top.
Mm-hmm.
Then I travel back down again to the bottommost point and raise up again. And I to and fro in this manner. Maybe 5 or 6 times.
Oh, so you're sort of reapplying shit side up, if you will.
Vince tells Steve buys his own toilet roll. He's still got our mums to pay for it.
I to and fro with the tissue, and then I immediately throw that down. This idea of folding and reusing never comes into my mind.
Do you ever inspect?
Oh, there's an inspection, but then I don't then think I'll fold and get a bit more usage out of this.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But that aside, I think the biggest issue is the toing and froing. I don't think that's a proper cleaning technique.
I wouldn't, because you're reapplying the shit, basically. You're creating a bomb site down there, really.
Well, I will say, I do end up incredibly clean. You know, let's not start describing it as a bomb site.
No, because it is a bomb site, but then you bidet after that, so the bidet sort of, you know.
Well, you know, I think that's the saving grace of the whole situation. You know, without that, I mean, because now, again, I just have to make it very clear, you could eat a salad down there if you wanted to.
Without bidet, I'd call you a filthy bastard, but, you know, bidet comes into play, which saves the day.
For the gay.
Oh,
spend this whole podcast just rhyming now. Just
it's all become a bit Dr. Seuss, this. I'm not sure I approve. And it wasn't one of his better selling books. But yeah, so I've now discovered the pretty universal technique is single wipe, fold, single wipe, fold. Mm. Eye to and fro.
Oh. Are you gonna change or are you stuck in a stuck in your ways?
I feel like it's a bit late to change now.
Can't teach an old dog new tricks. That old dog's gonna end up with worms.
Again, this dog does not have worms. Very clean.
But if a dog did have a bidet, he wouldn't end up with worms, would he? Is worms...
I think worms is an internal thing.
Yeah, isn't it? Yeah.
No. It was mainly because when a dog gets worms, they sort of rub the bum on the floor to over and over again.
I see what you mean. They can scrape it along a carpet or rug.
So if you
again something I've never been seen doing,
but it's sort of similar. So say if you just put like a roll of toilet roll on the floor and sort of done what dogs do when they've got worms on this toilet roll.
Yeah, you know what? That would be my technique.
Isn't that what Gary Lineker done at the World Cup, Ryan?
No, Jordan Gary Lineker. So just to fill Steve in on this, Gary Lineker, Italian 90. He had an upset belly. He had an upset stomach.
He had a Paula Radcliffe.
Yeah. Before a game, and he played on anyway because obviously an important game. And he overstretched for the ball, and it obviously loosened the stomach muscles that were keeping in his, that were making sure an accident didn't happen. They loosened, and there was a mess. And Gary Lineker, he doesn't even do that ball. Gary Lineker, he reaches through the bottom end of his shorts up to his bum where the mess is, and he's just pulling it out and wiping it on the grass.
Oh no,
Gary Lineker, very cleverly quips when he's telling this story that he's never had as much space from defenders in his whole life.
Oh, that's good work in Gary Lineker.
Yeah.
How has he been able to bounce back and flourish from that?
Oh yeah, that is a hell of a bounce back, that is. Yeah.
How do walkers see that and go, yeah, that's all right? You know what the good news is now, though, based on this knowledge, now that I've revealed this, maybe a crisp company will endorse me.
Well, I suppose the Russell this the crisp packet is quite, it's quite, it resembles your wiping technique. And the sandpaper Stephen Williams over there.
And I've got one more thing to tell you in this kind of realm.
I like that because we were in the beginning 50 episodes, we had a lot of toilet chats.
In the beginning. Yeah, the first book of Genesis.
In the beginning. In the beginning, God had a shit. Ooh. Oh, God. You know what? Planet in that.
He has his best ideas on the toilet, does God.
The world was created in what, 6 days, and day one was God having a good poo.
I'm feeling creative today.
But yeah, in our formative years of this podcast, we did have lots of chats like this. It's nice to return to it.
Yeah, but we made the conscious effort, didn't we? I remember the conversation well. I may have been on the toilet even.
It was one of our off-air phone calls, wasn't it, Ryan?
Where it was, we need to talk about the toilet chat. We need to rein it in a bit. So we've made a conscious effort to sort of cut out the toilet chat a bit. So it's nice to return back to the old formula.
I say so. Well, anyway, I had a new elocution client today, and it was her first session, and she was quite late turning up. She was about 5 minutes late. And when she eventually came on Zoom, I said, I was just about to email you. She went, sorry, I was having a piss. That was her opening line to me, and I wanted to go, no, you are having a piss.
Also, a piss wouldn't mean that you were, how big was a piss?
Oh, I mean, I didn't want to go into the minutia, Ryan. You know, in hindsight, I shouldn't have said to her, while you're here, how do you wipe?
Yeah, she must have been very hydrated.
So you know what? I don't think we should talk about the Bernie Sanders meme that has been going around.
No, I reckon we stick to the toilet chat rather than, you know, we don't fall into a routine with the rest of the internet.
No. However, I am going to do it.
Because... So we do. We do want those clicks after all.
Because when I saw that and his general persona there, I thought that must be how I look when either of you two start telling one of your anecdotes. Just arms crossed, looking miserable.
Yeah, but you'd have a dressing gown on rather than like his coat. That lumberjack dressing gown that you wear, that'd be that.
I've updated to a black silk since then.
Oh.
Yeah.
Very fancy.
Oh, thanks, Ryan. You won't be saying that when you see it, but thank you, you know, before the fact. Anyway, you know what? That's probably enough about me. So, Ryan, how's your week been?
Well, I've got
I feel very dirty about what I've just said. I might need to go and use the bidet again. Oh God, that did not suit my mouth. Go on, Ryan.
Yeah, so I finally relieved myself of the Huawei P20 Pro.
I know you have. I was on the phone with you at the time.
Yeah, so I've got a new phone, so no longer are the Chinese government listening.
Oh,
well,
who's listening now?
I have bought another Chinese manufactured phone, but I don't think they have as close alignment with the government as Huawei. Because I am now the proud owner of an Oppo Reno 4 Pro 5G. Ooh.
5G.
Can we have a visual?
You just showed us there was a blank box.
Well, I was reading that. It doesn't have the name of the phone on the phone, does it? So I wanted to get it right. But the phone. Can we see it?
I can see it.
I see a very bright light.
Yeah, that's just the lighting in the room. Oh, it's
dimmed.
Did we see that?
Now I can see.
Now I can see me. Oh God, I don't like this.
Yeah. So look, fingerprint activation and facial activation as well.
Oh.
It's not working. But there we go. Yeah, no.
So what caused this upgrade?
Well, the Huawei P20 Pro has sort of been falling to bits as of late, to be honest. So it needed the upgrade. So that's because I think I got the Huawei P20 Pro when we were doing this very podcast. So, you know, it's lasted. It's sort of been a part of the...
Yeah, of this, the podcasting journey.
Yeah, of the podcasting journey, exactly, yeah. So, you know, it's sad to see it go, but it's very much had its day. So I left...
Much like this show.
Yeah, so I phoned up the Vodafone salesman. I done the classic. I think I'm leaving. I harbled.
Yeah, but this is a very 2008 approach, Ryan, to buy a phone over a phone call.
No, they do, because I looked at the My Vodafone app and the rewards option and the upgrade options, and the payment plans were a little bit, they weren't so great. And the actual payment plan that I've got is what wasn't available on the app. So see, my salesman stance worked. I don't know. Because I'm to be brutally honest.
In your mind, are you Alec Baldwin and Glengarry Glen Ross on that phone call?
To be brutally honest, right, I approached the phone call. I dialed the 191, the Vodafone.
Yeah.
And I was very much...
a quiver in the voice.
Yeah, no, I was just going to be honest. I was going to tell them. I was going to, you know, just say, I'm going to stay with you, but you need to give me some better deals. That's what I was going to say. That was going to be my approach. And they do this voice activation thing. So you tell them like what you want to do. And I was trying to say upgrade, and the Vodafone bot couldn't understand my accent. So it said,
it's a very hard you that you've got there, Ryan.
Yeah, so they thought I said, I'm thinking of leaving. So they said, sorry about that. We'll put you through to one of our customer assistants. I was like, oh. So I think I accidentally played the hardball stance, but because then I got through to a person who thought I was leaving. But then I immediately took up the first offer that he said to me.
Oh, Ryan.
Yeah, he just, because I was going to get the Google Pixel phone.
Okay.
And he took me through Gaz of Vodafone. He took me through the spec of the Google Pixel and then explained individually why the Oppo Reno 4 Pro 5G is better than it in every single capacity.
Okay.
It's got a chip in it.
Was one of his explanation points that we have overstocked on the Oppo Reno 5G?
It was because it's another Chinese manufactured phone. So all the apps are going to stop working on it during this year. this part really sold me.
Okay. So Paul, imagine that you're Ryan. Ryan is Gaz, right, and he's selling Gaz. You on the point.
The chip in the Oppo Reno 4 Pro 5G. Do you know what it's called?
What's it called, Ryan?
The phone.
No, we know it's called the Oppo Reno 4 Pro 5G.
Okay, the chip.
The chip in the phone.
No, what's it called?
It is called the Super Dragon.
Oh, now at all.
Now, if I want a chip power in my phone, I want it to be called Super Dragon. I don't even know if there was a dragon before the Super Dragon, but that, I know Super Dragon is, I'm getting, you know, the creme de la creme. Cream rises to the top, as does the Oppo Reno 4 Pro 5G, I believe. This is exactly what Gaz said to me. So he was telling me all this thing about why the spec was so good, the camera, powerful the phone was and stuff like that.
Okay, so were you aware of what the phone looked like, though? Because he's selling you this over the phone.
I'd never heard of Oppo until this very phone call.
No.
Yeah, so I was trying to sort of Google, because I was on my laptop while speaking on the phone.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, my internet cut out as I was trying to do it. So I had to sort of, again, I was brutally honest with Gaz. We had an honest, it was honest communication. But hopefully from him. There definitely was from him.
I'm guessing wasn't, it wasn't from him.
Yeah, I think Gaz might be seeing other people. And so...
How echoey was his phone line?
I heard him vigorously sanding something down halfway through it. Now I'm worried about his wiping technique. I had to say to Gaz, because Gaz offered me the deal, 30% off, he said, because you're a value customer.
Yeah.
Which I was like, oh, Gaz, that's good. That's what I wanted to be. Yeah. He thought I was going to leave.
Was it a sex line you'd phoned, Ryan?
What are you wearing, Gaz? Well, it's almost like a red polo with a Vodafone logo on it.
It's weird considering I'm working from home. Then again, though, it is just that and nothing else.
So I, because the internet had cut off, I couldn't even look at the phone. So you might be selling me this. I don't know.
Fucking like Don Jolly.
Yeah, Gordy flip phone or something like that. So I had to say, can you call me back in an hour?
Ooh. Gaz thought he was losing that sale.
Yeah, Gaz thought. I was sort of, you know, again, playing hardball.
Yeah.
Within 30 seconds of the phone call ending, I was like, oh, yeah, I'm probably going to take that deal. I hope it doesn't go up in the hour. So I seized upon the deal when he phoned me back exactly an hour later as well.
Oh, really? That,
yeah, exact on the dot.
Okay.
So, you know, whatever, Gaz has obviously been told to shift some of these Oppo Reno 4 Pro 5G. I'm the hapless customer who doesn't have a clue.
I think he changes the name of that chip in every phone call.
Yeah, it's definitely all name. It's like a character from Street Fighter in it. Oh, yeah, that's one. It's got the fire breather chip in it. That. Oh, the fire breather.
I think earlier in that phone call, you'd mentioned your love of Chinese New Year.
No, but do you know how we ended the phone call for me? So we sealed the deal.
Yeah.
You know, and he said to me, Ryan, enjoy that powerful phone. I thought, what a line, Gaz. What a closer. I gasped. I said, I will, Gaz. And he's hung up, he's gone. Never to be in contact with him ever again.
So. Until it breaks in about 2 weeks and you're going to ring him back.
Yeah. Can I have the Google one? Because Google Maps isn't working on it now, Gaz.
And 5G isn't even around here.
Some lunatics burnt the mast down. Said it was causing coronavirus.
Yeah, there is graffiti.
Birds just keep falling from the sky, Gaz. What's going on?
Why is that tree not grown properly?
Yeah, so you know. That's been my week. I've embraced a new piece of technology.
Well, keep us updated on how it goes, what it's like.
Oh, believe me, I shall.
my finger will be poised over the appropriate bed when you go into this chat, Ryan. Shall we go into the feature?
Yes.
Now,
yes.
Ryan, you are hosting this week.
I am. It's a very special feature this week. I'm very excited about it because...
But they should all be special, Ryan.
I know, but I like to build every feature up. But this one is extraordinarily
You've got a
special.
Favorite child, haven't you? That's what you've got to treat them all the same.
And it is this very feature because this feature is a first. It's our first ever feature to include a pun of one of the members of the team's full name.
Okay.
So it's not just, you know, your G and your Steve and your Ryan some random way. It features the whole name in the feature title. Because this feature is all about my favorite actor and your favorite actor. It is about the character actor, Paul G. Amati. Paul G. Amati.
Very, very good. You know what? It's astonishing we've not made that connection before.
Are you familiar with that?
Well, because of Paul's blank look, I'm bringing it up.
Yeah. Are we familiar with Mr. Giamatti's work?
Oh, of course we are. Paul, do you recognize him?
No, not in the slightest.
You do. He's kind of in everything.
He's in Sideways, but I don't think you've seen that. It's about like wine tasting.
Is he in Gladiator?
Why
Troy?
Did you choose that one, Paul?
I know. It was one of them where it was already left me brain, so it had to be said. But it was very poor. It was a poor choice. He was in a mini series about John Adams, one of the early presidents.
Pick up more of his bigger hits, Ryan.
He's in a show called Billions. That's quite popular. I've never watched it, but you know he's in it.
The Illusionist. You've seen Paul?
Nope.
The Truman Show.
Nope. Is he in the Truman Show?
Yes. Saving Private Ryan.
No.
Saving Mr. Banks.
No. He's in a lot of saving. He saves a lot of people, doesn't he?
He does, and he's saving the episode of this podcast.
You know what? You may not know him.
Yeah, you might have seen him around in Paul, but you know your full name is included in his name. So I thought, you know, the feature, by the way, is just called Paul Giamatti.
Oh, I mean, it works. And Paul will inevitably still win.
Yeah, so even though it's a first for you, it's got the full name in it, the format is the same. It's the three Paul Giamatti trivia questions and maybe a bonus round. So are we ready for round one?
Ready for round one.
Ready.
Here we go with round one. The bed creates an element of speed. So as I'm reaching for the questions on my phone, you know, it's the Oppo Rem. I'm not familiar with the interface yet either. So, you know, it's taking a bit of... Anyway.
I mean, the interface isn't that pressing, Ryan. There's just a series of buttons and I press the appropriate one.
No, the interface on the Oppo.
I see.
The notes folder's different and everything. It's a tough ask. You know.
Is there an easy transfer of documents?
Oh yeah, I used clone phone.
That sounds legit.
Yes. I cloned the phone.
Was that suggested by Gaz or?
No. That was just sort of
your own research.
It was suggested by the installation of the Oppo. That was Oppo suggested. I think it's an Android thing now.
Wow.
I know you're both Apple Apple phone users, aren't you? We're getting away from Paul Giamatti.
Thank God for that.
Are you ready for round one?
I know more about an Oppo than I do about Paul Giamatti.
Well, an Oppo Reno 4 5G. Are you ready for round one?
The bet is playing for round one.
So I just leap into the question then?
Yes.
All right. So I feel like
when does something normally say round one?
I think he's already played it before, this phone clone chat.
Well, yeah, because you said, here we go with round one, and I pressed the bed.
I know, but, you know, I thought I had the Huawei P20 Pro. Okay. I had the Oppo, didn't I?
So the bed has stopped, Ryan. This is what you've caused.
Okay, so I'll say it again now.
Well, once again, bickering on the air, Ryan.
say it again.
Here we go.
Here we go with round one.
So, it's a very dramatic bed. You should have got that the first time,
Ryan. I was about to leap back into the questioner and you felt the need to say something.
Oh.
All right, when Paul Giamatti was growing up, I can't take an angry tone to say about this Paul Giamatti trivia. Okay, I'm going back to Tarrant mode.
Okay.
When Paul Giamatti was growing up, he did not aspire to be an actor. So my first question to you is, what unusual profession did young Paul Giamatti dream of being when he grew up? Was it A, sommelier or sommelier? Was it B?
You're just driving your toilet practice this afternoon.
I can't tell. I've still got coronavirus. I don't know how sommelier it is. Was it B, a cheesemonger?
Okay.
Or was it C, an umpire?
Who?
Where is he from?
Oh, sorry.
Somewhere in America. I think.
Oh, he's American.
Okay. He is American.
Yeah. Oh, he's American. Yeah. I don't know what part of America. I'm gonna say New York, but literally pull.
That was a stab in the dark. There, Brian.
I've just picked the big place in America there.
Okay. I have never known a child who aspires as a child to be a sommelier, considering they wouldn't have had any wine at that point. So I'm going to rule that one out. Cheesemonger. Perhaps he was a big fan of Wallace and Gromit. And what was the third option?
An umpire.
What was he umpiring? What did he want to umpire?
Oh, now I thought umpiring was exclusively tennis. I didn't realise they were called that in cricket.
No, there's a cricket umpire as well. Oh, but cricket, Americans don't play cricket, so...
Yeah.
That is not part of the questions.
I'm going to go for the cheesemonger.
So I would have went cheesemonger. I'll go for the smellier.
Were you both thinking like they would have chose Paul Giamatti Brie?
Now my thing, I'm definitely not going for B. I think the only reason you put that in is so you can use that gag.
Well, so it's either A or C. Okay, it's me. I could sneak Brie into Paul Giamatti's thing.
Oh, it's A or C then. I'll go A.
You can go sommelier.
Yeah.
Okay, you're locking that in?
Yeah.
We've locked it in.
Okay, well, I can confirm you're both incorrect.
Oh,
no.
The sommelier reference was alluding to Sideways, the film he's in about wine tasting.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. And a cheesemonger was, yeah, so I could say Paul Giamatti Brie. And he wanted to be a baseball umpire growing up. That's why I didn't want to say the sport because it'd be obvious then.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
Yeah, but he admired baseball umpires.
Oh,
strangely.
You know what? I'm a bit giddy on account of that GMR Brie line there. That was really good.
You put like a continental accent over the T there, GMR Brie.
Oh, no, excellent.
Okay. So, are you ready for round two?
Ready.
Here we go with round two. What iconic TV role did Paul Giamatti reportedly turn down? Was it A, Michael Scott in The US Office? Was it B, Kenneth Parcell in 30 Rock? Or was it C, Phil Dunphy in Modern Family?
Oh, this is really good. I am going to, I've got absolutely no idea, but I'm going to say The Office. No, I'm not. No, can I?
How has this turned into your game, Steve? You went first last time. Control yourself. Williams, you do not run this. You might think you do, but you do not run this podcast.
That was very Speaker of the House, that Paul.
Yeah, you embodied your inner Bercho there.
Oh, duh.
Oh, duh.
There are three of us in this rouge that we put on. I may not have my name in the jingle, but I am still here.
No, I was a slightly too rowdy backbencher there. Okay, go on, Paul, but you can do it first.
Well, I would much rather you have carried. I should have interrupted you a little bit later because you had gone for The Office. I have no idea who this fella is, but you had gone The Office, then you changed your mind, but I didn't find out why.
But did I?
Oh,
you did. I heard you say no. Actually, I take that back. You're in your little rant. I haven't got a clue, so I'll go C.
And what was C again? Phil Dunphy?
Yeah, Phil Dunphy of Modern Family.
Okay, the reason I was going to say why I don't think it was The Office anymore is that the British Office was already hugely successful. Mm-hmm. So he would have been able to see it and go, oh, I'll be in this show. So I'm going to take that back. And option B again was...
Kenneth and 30 Rock.
He wouldn't suit Kenneth and 30 Rock.
That might be why you turned it down.
So, I'm gonna go back to The Office then, because I can't choose Phil Dunphy, which I actually think is the right one. So back to The Office.
Okay, one of you has it correct, and it is Stephen Williams.
Oh, yes. Yeah,
apparently, reportedly turned down the role of Michael Scott. Which,
wow. That's surprising.
How different things could have been.
I know. Yeah. Paul may have recognised him.
No, still wouldn't have.
Would you know who Steve Carell is, Paul?
No, not
that
a clue.
Your pronunciation, Steve Carell.
I know. As soon as I said that, I thought, I've said that like he's like lives on my road, Steve Carell.
Steve Carell. Big Steve from the top. Lives in 68.
Anyway, so 1-0 to Stephen. Are you ready for round three?
Ready.
Round three of Paul Giamatti. Paul Giamatti describes his most difficult role as an extra in NYPD Blue.
Ooh.
What about the role was so bad? Was it A, he had to lie still while live rats scurried all over him? Was it B, he had to sit in real life shit? Or was it C, he had to learn how to bake a souffle?
The real Paul G would not like any of them things.
I think you'd like a souffle, Paul. But maybe not bacon one.
I also don't know whether to contact the licensing office and have you two sued for using my name without me being in the jingle. From now on, I think that I'm going to patent the G name.
Ooh.
It's jingle this, jingle that.
If we could do something about Pattinson, and that could be like a Ryan Pattinson feature.
No, don't turn my disgust into another feature and disappointment.
Who goes first here?
You.
Yeah, you got it right.
I'm going to say rats then. I don't think a production company would allow him to smear shit over himself. And they turn those shows around very quickly, so I don't think they'd expect an actor to learn how to make a souffle, which is notoriously incredibly hard to do. So I'm going to say rats.
Steve's reasoning seems excellent. And now I'm left with the two booby prizes. I'll go C, because surely they haven't asked them to do that.
So I'll go C. I'm going C.
You're going C. You're going he had to learn how to bake a souffle.
Yeah.
And Steve, you're going for A, if the rat's scurrying over him.
Yes, I think that's what it is.
I can confirm that once again, Neither of you are correct.
Oh, no.
It was. He played an extra man in sleeping bag and he had to sit in real life feces.
Oh my God.
Yeah, who's?
I don't know.
Let's hope it wasn't Ryan's after one of his four chilies.
Yeah, so that was, is that, so it, Paul, you perform terribly in Paul Giamatti. You can see the name features in
name fellows.
Considering I don't know who he is.
But,
oh,
I can confirm, because it is such a special feature. I have written a very special bonus round for it, which you have unlocked.
Are you going to invite Paul Giamatti in for this one?
Paul Giamatti's under the covers.
Surrounded by shit.
It's happened again. Okay, here we go with the bonus rounds. I do like that one. I was very thinking that was quite like something from Casualty last week, wasn't I?
I'm dismissive about it.
I know. I heard that and it got a bit of a thrill.
That's just what lockdown does to you now. It's just we've out of lockdown now.
It's this and long phone calls with a guy called Gaz. Please phone me back in an hour, Gaz. Please.
I just want to hear someone's voice.
Next week it'll just be turning on the light. Like, oh, how fast did that come on?
Okay, so the bonus question.
Yeah.
Paul Giamatti was the subject of the hashtag WaxPaulNow campaign, led by three friends who were aghast by the absence of a Giamatti figure when they visited Madame Tussauds. So they start this... Go on, sorry.
So I was just going to say that was proper pronunciation of aghast there.
I know, Ryan, I knew
that you would. When I wrote this question earlier, I knew you would criticize me for saying aghast like I normally was. I made a conscious effort that I'm going to say aghast. And then I thought it'd get a reaction, and it didn't really. Not the reaction I wanted, but.
What did you want?
Ooh. One of them.
Oh, okay.
It's fine. But Madame Tussauds recognised this Paul Giamatti campaign and said they would agree to do the petition to introduce a statue of Paul Giamatti into Madame Tussauds if a petition got 500,000 signatures. But my question to you is, how many signatures did the petition eventually receive?
Oh.
Ooh.
Steve, you get the choice of whether you want to go first or not.
I have a number in my mind, but I want you to go first, Paul.
I'm going to go... I think it'll be a lot more than... I think it'll be high.
For a man you didn't recognise, Paul.
I'm going to go 2.4 million.
2.4 million? Okay.
Ryan's reaction was not very positive then.
No, wasn't it? I'm taking it in.
I think that's a staggeringly high amount, especially considering Ryan used the word how many it eventually got.
Oh.
You know, I think if it was that many, it would have been kind of the thing that did the rounds and was quite quick. So I think less than a million. My initial gut reaction is over the amount, but I think 712,000.
Oh, okay. Well, one of you is closer.
Okay.
You are both.
Shock.
You have both incredibly overestimated.
Oh, no.
The popularity of this Paul Giamatti campaign. So at the time of, I read this could have increased with time, because I read this in an older Vulture article.
Okay.
So it mightn't be true now, but at the time in this article it's accurate.
At the time of publication,
but I didn't. But you were vastly overestimated the outcry for a Paul Giamatti statue of Madame Tussauds, because at the time of this article it has had 1,800 signatures.
Oh.
Yeah. So I don't think after this first moment Paul Giamatti has a statue in Madison. So I don't think they eventually reach past the 500,000 threshold.
Aww.
But that does mean that Stephen Williams has won a feature.
Yes.
So Stephen Williams won Paul Giamatti.
Oh, now we're talking.
Can we do features in future that I know? For people that we know about.
Paul, that's never made a difference before.
Yeah, we normally today. Pick someone that you have no idea of and you just absolutely smash it for some reason.
And also, Paul, there's not enough content to sustain the next month.
Yeah, we'd have to start putting like your neighbours on and stuff like that.
Fine. Peter won't mind.
Well, your local landlady, and that's about that.
Yeah, we could call it Jeter or something like that. Steeter.
Yeah.
That was my second quiz in 2 days after my my online pub quiz yesterday.
Well, we'll tell the listeners about that because you sent Ryan and I a message about a virtual pub quiz. And most people taking part in an online pub quiz now go for like, I don't know, your Ronan Kemp's or something with a big name.
Ronan Kemp.
You've gone for the bloke who just does your local pub quiz.
Kevin J, who hosted the online Black Horse quiz on a Tuesday and a Friday night. Monday and a Friday night it is.
Yeah, that's the thing. So I've done the Kev J online quiz, but...
Oh, have you?
Yes.
I can imagine he doesn't bring a huge amount of production value to it.
He does. Yeah,
does he?
Yeah, we're friends of the show, Chris. He's a regular.
Chris is?
Yeah, at the Kevin J online quiz.
Oh, I don't think he was there last night.
No, on a Friday, because that's the thing. To do a virtual quiz, I normally would see it as an end of the week thing. A Monday for the virtual quiz seems like, I don't know.
It was a spare of the moment thing, but from the very minute that we started doing it, it was a complete and utter disaster. So the way the quiz works is you log in through the Zoom ID and stuff, and you have to download an app. And then what you have to do is you have to send Kevin J £2 to play.
Okay.
And he then sends you the pin for the to get onto the speed quizzing page.
Yeah.
So I goes on and I send Kevin J my £2 and I text Kevin J. So then you text him, you say, I've sent the thing, and he sends you the pin.
Okay.
So text him and says, hi, Kev. Just letting you know, want to play the quiz.
Bit informal, that, Paul.
I will read you my text to Kevin J.
Okay.
Sorry.
Did you end with XOXO?
XOXO Radio, the tune at 102.3 FM.
So I said, all right, Kev, my name's Paul. I've just paid for a go with the quiz tonight. Perfectly fine text.
Yeah.
I got a reply a minute later. I'm not Kev, you have the wrong number. So that was how it started. So then we ended up sending the text to the right person. We got the quiz. We logged in.
You should respond to the first person and say, sorry about that, but if you do want to take part in this pub quiz.
Or if you've got any questions, we can jump on Zoom and I'll answer them.
So we couldn't think of a team name, so we went for something Everton related.
Oh.
Something to do with Carlo, who's our manager. So Hannah said, oh, why don't we go Carlo's Angels? Said the Charlie's Angels.
I can see that.
So I put the name into my speed quizzing app, and we left it, and we're about to start. So the quiz, I can only describe it as going into like all these people like 40s, 50s, 60s, and it was like being dropped into the middle of a weird family argument.
Zoom as well.
They all knew each other from doing the quiz. So they were like, hi, Margaret, you're okay. What have you been up to? And they were like, oh, not much. Auntie Maureen died last week. And it was like,
no.
To hear that.
You didn't tackle a family bereavement over an online quiz. You don't bring up a bereavement on a quiz.
Oh, no.
So me and Hannah were sitting there thinking, oh, this is absolute terribly.
You know what, Paul? If
sad.
You had the Roadcaster Pro there, you could have played a sad bed underneath.
Imagine how insensitive that would be.
So the quiz was not off to the best of starts. And then if you get the answer right first, Kevry reads out your team name to say you got the quickest answer.
What's Kev's setup? What's his background on Zoom?
He looks like he's in his kitchen.
I think he's in his kitchen when I've done it, yeah.
Yeah.
And
I think sometimes you see like his telly in the background a bit, but
is he staring some pastor on the hob at the same time? You see it boiling over in the background.
So me and Hannah made a cracking start, and one of the answers we were pretty sure of, so we answered really quickly.
Yeah,
we got it right. Kevin J goes, so there was 11 people who got that right, and fastest was Carlos Angles.
Oh no,
I have a problem spelling angels and angles apparently.
Oh, I
had spelled it Carlos Angles rather than Carlos Angels.
So
the editor was me.
They must have thought you were like tuning in from like Brazil or something like that. Oh, you've got a South America player today, Carlos Angles. Welcome to the Angles.
And then after all that, we finished last as well. Well, we finished second to last. No. So it was quite
I hope you got the trigonometry question correct.
Pythagorean. Oh no. Pythagorean. Was it still triangles? Just give me that. Still.
Well, the thing that you text me, Paul, and I absolutely cried to myself, was that one of the contestants had the Christmas tree still up in the background.
That is honestly not okay now, is it?
All night I kept thinking about that and pissing myself at it.
It's not as if they'd be busy either for after Christmas, is it? It's a fucking national lockdown. Just thinking about next year.
Oh, should we do the Discover Stay?
Yeah.
I would like us to do it. We should do a quiz. Maybe we should do that one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I regularly do it.
I think I'll be doing it again Friday. So if you
genuinely like Chris always does it with his girlfriends. So like we do it, we go on Zoom and then do that as well.
Is it the same this local Kevin J that Chris does?
Yeah.
He lives in a different city now.
Yes. Chris does the Kevin, and Chris has also found another quiz from hosted by a fella called
Is he in Kirby?
No, it's a fella from in Leamington Spa.
Oh, I believe it's Leamington Spa.
Why have you started by to be like posh? You're from Walton. Leamington Spa, are you messing?
I always remember when I was in a taxi coming back from and the fella, the taxi driver, was starting now making harmless small talk.
Yeah.
And he said, "Have you got any plans tonight?" I was like, "Oh no, I'm just going back home for my tea."
Yeah.
And he says, "Oh, what are you having?" And I told him I was having a salmon Wellington. And he went, "What's it, hell, salmon Wellington? You're from Walton?" tail between my legs in the back of the car. Just like, yeah, mate. Salmon Wellington's what I'm having for me too.
Which we don't buy a salmon Wellington from.
I don't know, it was like a frozen, it wasn't even a fancy salmon Wellington, it was like a frozen one.
I don't think you've got that though from Sainsbury's on Rice Lane.
I think my mum just bought it from like the frozen aisle or something like that. And it wasn't put in the oven 35 minutes and it's done, something like that. And the fella was like, yeah, having a go at me. Shouldn't have told him I was having like a barrel-aged sour after it as well.
Oh god.
I reckon all that I've now became an anecdote for that taxi driver.
Yeah, definitely.
Whenever he asks the question now, oh, what are you having for your tea, I will enter his brain thinking, well, I'm from Walton, I'm from fucking Salmon Wellington. I don't know what I should have amended my answer to, though. Should have like reined it in a bit and went like, oh, like
you
overly
want the beans on toast.
Yeah, overly like, oh, I just eat buttered bread, mate. Because I'm from Walton.
I just crush an OXO cube and have that.
Yeah, I just drink some gravy.
Oh god. I need to lie down. Let's do the Discover Stage.
Discover Stee.
Okay, Ryan, have you got a fact for us?
Yeah. So I discovered this week that there is people in the Tour de France. There's a team of people who are their job role is to go follow the cyclists and cover up all the painting that people have done of a cock and balls to cut because people paint it because they know it's going to be on telly. So they cover up all the graffiti so it doesn't appear on telly. Or I assume it's probably after the fact, so they have to like sort of to keep make sure the route is remains.
Not Venus only Ray. Is that an exceptional fact, Ryan, Paul was watching the TV as you were telling your fact, and when you said cock and balls, his eyes darted to the screen.
I missed the first couple of lines of the sentence.
Paul's selective hearing of cock and balls.
Yeah, I thought it was an excellent fact.
No, that's a really good fact.
Yeah.
My fact this week is that the first oranges weren't actually orange.
What colour were they?
Green.
Oh.
Yeah.
Is it true that doesn't the word rhymes with orange?
Oh.
Because I thought there was. I remember thinking there's two words. There's two words that there's no rhyming couple of four in English language, and it's orange and purple. But then I thought, what rhymes with banana?
Oh, you need to get back to work seriously quickly.
Because I said banana, and I thought, what would I say to like sort of rhyme with banana? Like, would you say like I don't know? But nothing came to mind. Anyway,
Sultana, is that a rhyme?
Sultana banana, maybe.
Yeah. Let's see. Banana rhymes. I'm on rhymezone.com.
Oh, I love Rhyme Zone.
Ghana.
Ryan Zone.
Yeah.
And we've got Ghana. Flana.
What's a Flana?
Flana. Sorry, we don't have a definition for this word or phrase.
Unless it's a place that we're unaware of. I think Rhyme Zone are taking the piss there.
Cabana.
Oh.
Yeah, suppose there are a few.
At the banana cabana. No, it doesn't work. It doesn't work.
No.
I can see why that was the first draft from Man Alone.
Well, so orange doesn't actually have a rhyme, but it's not the only one. It's just the most famous. Other words that have no rhymes include silver, purple, month, knife, pint, wolf, opus, dangerous, marathon, and discombobulate.
There's not a rhyme with a pint. That's weird, isn't it? The other ones are quite long, so it's sort of they don't surprise you.
Well, you know, there's pints. Wolf in there.
What's wolf? There's no rhyme for wolf. I must have missed that one. Pint and wolf, that surprised me. I thought gulf. The gulf of... A gulf in class, that rhymes with wolf pretty well.
Oh, you know what,
I reckon I'll be able to find something that rhymes with pint as well. I can't think of one now, but like...
month also, I feel like something probably does rhyme with that.
It's a weird O-N-T-H. It's a weird sort of letter combination though, isn't it?
Yeah.
But pint...
Okay, and Paul.
I'm gonna be thinking about that all night. What rhymes with pint?
Nothing. I've already told you that.
No, but that thing's bullshit, isn't it? Because of wolf.
Oh yeah, yeah. Golf wolf. Actually, you know what? No, wolf only rhymes in your pronunciation.
No, what do you also call it a wolf? Do you?
No, wolf, golf doesn't rhyme. But it's because you go wolf and gulf, that's why it rhymes.
Oh, elocutioncoach.co.uk.
Well, it's elocutionevolution.co.uk.
So it doesn't actually rhyme, only in your accent.
Not convinced.
And Paul, what is your fact?
Do you want to give me a page, or do you want me to
let's go for a page. It's currently the 26th of Jan as we record this, so do page 26. We never go that low.
think there's a reason. I'm still questioning how accurate any of these are.
I think they're all true.
I think they must be true.
So I don't know how true this is. So hundreds of victims of the Great Singapore...
I like this already, Paul.
So we all know that we're going through a pandemic at the moment, but hundreds of victims of the
pandemic, you say?
Hundreds of victims of the Great Singapore Penis Panic of 1967 feared their penises were shrinking away. A dozen of the sufferers were women.
Oh, this needs some further investigation. The Singapore Penis Panic of 67.
Yeah, that was it.
What? Was it just like, would the Singapore's get a really bad winter?
The Great Singapore Penis Panic of 19. It's all in capital letters as well, as if it is a...
Well, it's quite a panic though, isn't it? So it's sort of, it's being shouted, isn't it?
I mean, it would be for the women especially.
So yeah, research that if anyone's got a bit of free time.
Oh, I shall be Googling as soon as this episode finishes.
And I'm sure it won't be your most questionable Google today. Good to see you, fellas.
Yes, pleasure as always.
You can follow us on Instagram, which is Paul.
At Dodging Death Podcast.
You can subscribe and help out the show on Patreon, which is...
patreon.com/Dodging Death Podcast.
And you know what? Even if you don't want to support financially, you can leave us a review on iTunes. Just search for Dodging Death. You know, 5 stars, nice little comment. Yeah. And you can email us to dodgingdeathpodcast@gmail.com. I think that's it. Cheers, fellas. I will see you next week.
See you next week.
Yep. Leave Dodging Death a 5-star review on iTunes. Mwahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahahah